There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Veterans Day edition of the show. And phone number and the text line are both the same. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106 gets you through to the show. We'll talk about as well. You can leave us a talkback message using the FM Talk 106.5 app. Big thank you to everybody who came out today at the start of the Veterans Day Parade. Dan and Dalton doing Mobile Mornings there from the parade. And it was good to see everybody once again. Last year we got rained on. This year it's just cold. So big improvement. And as we get started on this, and two things too, to remind you, we've been doing this for about a decade around here. It is Veterans Month here. While today's Veterans Day, our interviews with veterans will stretch through the whole month of November. Actually, I started them early in October, but through the whole month. So a reminder about that. And also being Veterans Day, I give you this every year, and I'm going to give it to you every year until they tell me not to. They hadn't told me not to yet. Veterans Day, modern Veterans Day. People talk about like Armistice Day and then when Armistice Day became Veterans Day. So modern Veterans Day in this country started in Alabama. And I think it's, and as much as I'm a Mobile homer and I like to tell everybody how Mardi Gras started here, and that's great, but other parts of our state I will respect as well for their mark in history when it became, Armistice Day became Veterans Day. A Navy veteran up in Birmingham. World War II had ended. It's 1947. Raymond Weeks is his name. Navy veteran had a great idea. He said, let's turn Armistice Day, which honored the World War I soldiers, into a day that recognized all the American veterans. So this Alabama guy, he organized a parade then through downtown Birmingham, marching bands, military, local families waving flags. That first celebration in Birmingham had thousands come out. So this is 1947. Thousands come out. And it sparked something around the country. It was just about 3 years later that Raymond Weeks from Alabama took his idea to Washington, D.C., where he met with Dwight D. Eisenhower, General Eisenhower. He liked the idea so much that when he became president in 1954, he signed it into law, officially creating Veterans Day. So Eisenhower gets the mark in the history books or in Wikipedia for starting Veterans Day, and he made it official. He's president. You do that kind of stuff. Idea came from one Raymond Weeks, Navy veteran out of Birmingham. So that's the history of it, and it is the birthplace of Veterans Day as we celebrate it in a modern context right here in Alabama. Actually, for a long time, Raymond Weeks was the leader of the parade there in Birmingham. And back in 82, President Reagan gave him the Presidential Citizens Medal, calling him the father of Veterans Day. Birmingham's Veterans Day is still going strong, just like ours here, but it is the oldest and longest running Veterans Day parade in the nation, honoring every man and woman who has worn the uniform. So the history of Veterans Day in our state and where it started. And this man fresh off the parade today for Veterans Day. And the sheriff is off his horse in studio. Good to see you, Sheriff Birch.
Always good to be here. And I would like to start with saying happy Veterans Day to all my fellow veterans.
It is awesome to see you in both capacities. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about the sheriff's department and the number of people y'all have there that are veterans.
We have a large number of veterans. And you know, that's, you know, for the longest time, you know, recruitment came from people getting out of the military. Mm-hmm. So it was just an easy transition. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so we I would say, have a good probably third of our agency are veterans.
You probably, there's certain things you don't have to teach to the veterans to come in there. I mean, that's right. Law enforcement's a different thing, but the kind of the formatics of it, you don't have to teach.
You don't have to teach a lot of things, but they're also, you know, fresh out of the military, regardless of branch. They're usually in still pretty good physical shape.
Right.
And the discipline's already there, so it's just a very easy transition. And basically, law enforcement in modern day is quasi-military anyway.
How's that? What makes you like?
Just the uniform, the presence, and you know the conduct. Mm-hmm. You know, is on the day-to-day operations, your chain of command. You know, so you know that's something they easily understand, and it's a lot different than transitioning somebody to that than getting a college kid mm-hmm. to try to grasp all that. So
in law enforcement, you have a brotherhood, a sisterhood that goes on. Obviously, that comes out of the military. That makes an easy transition there. That kind of just that lifestyle, I guess, coming out of the military to being part of law enforcement.
It is, and it's just part of camaraderie. And I will say we do have a list of all of our veterans with the sheriff's office on Team Sheriff if anybody would like to check it out, and they're named individually.
Good. Well, thank you to all of them. And, yeah, let's check that out on this Veterans Day. I tell you, I said at the beginning, it's better last year, still good turnout, but it was pretty rainy last year. It was cold this year, but, you know, you could always put on a jacket.
It warmed up, you know, as it started.
So yes.
I'm glad the wind died down because it mm-hmm. does get tough on horseback. You had to ride and hold your hat. But,
right.
But it wasn't bad this morning.
It was and by the way, too, we'll put some pictures up. The sheriff still dressed out for riding a horse in here. I see you come in uniform, not usually this uniform, when you come talk to me. So
I literally had to jump off the horse into my truck and head over here.
Well, we'll take it anyway. We can get it. All right. Reminder this hour, your chance to ask the sheriff, Sheriff Birch, your questions, 343-0106, 343-0106. First one of mine, then we'll get to the other ones. I want to say, like, you've talked about this before, but I want to go back into this. Priorities, a triage list for, take a medical term, military term there, for providing public safety for the county. When you look at this, like, okay, here's the number one thing we got to do, then two, three. How do you put that together in your head?
Well, first is always violent crime. And you know, you've heard me talk about our Special Operations Division. We deploy them in different areas of the county, which may be municipalities. And all that's data driven. You know, we can gather data from anywhere within the county. And if we see there's a uptick in violent crime or an uptick in car burglaries, you know, we can deploy them there. So, you know, because usually the car burglaries are people trying to steal guns.
Mm-hmm.
And so I consider that a violent crime. And that's always a top priority. And then, you know, obviously protecting people's property. And that you know, is what we're paid to do.
Mm-hmm. I think about on the first one, too, to go back and explain when you came into office, you said, okay, I've got deputies covering their, what do you call it? Do you call it a precinct or a zone or what?
Areas.
Areas. Okay. Yep. So they're covering their areas. They're doing the day in and day out. But then, like you said, so the data says, hey, we got either people call in or the data is showing that we've got an uptick here. This group floats.
Right.
They float through different parts of the county.
Right. They can be deployed anywhere. It's a group of about 40 deputies, and they can be deployed. I mean, and they don't all have to go to that one area. If we have multiple problems, mm-hmm. I can send them to different areas, you know, split up. But, you know, the reason for that is, you know, patrol units are typically responding to calls.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're not able to constantly patrol through some of these problem areas if we have those. And especially if you have like a domestic or some kind of hot call that requires two deputies, well, then you've got two units in those areas that are tied up.
Mm-hmm.
And they may or may not be able to get back to the area that we're having problems in. And then if they happen to arrest somebody, they've got to take them to jail and come back, which takes about an hour depending on what part of the county you're in.
So you got to have somebody to fill in.
Yeah, well. So these guys are, again, 100% proactive. You know, they've got different vehicles that are available to them, you know, some marked, some unmarked, and they're able to get the job done.
With that reaction, going to those places, say, here's the hot zone right now. We've talked about a lot of different places within the county with you in the past. How do you then, does that help you build, if you go there and solve that problem now, does it help you down the road with those citizens, like, talking with you? You know, or communicating?
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, We've done multiple
operations.
I mean,
is it better
operations?
After y'all been there to communicate with the citizens in those areas?
Absolutely. You know, we've done a lot of operations in Pritchard, continue to do so. The citizens there love us being there.
Mm-hmm.
And we've built a relationship where, you know, frankly, they have told us that they didn't trust the local police. And if they did call, nobody ever showed up. So we've built a really good relationship, you know, with the law-abiding citizens in Pritchard.
Right.
But that can go toward any community. We have some areas out, Wilmer and all that, that, mm-hmm. you know, we've got to establish that rapport. And that's why I reduced the size of the beats or areas when I took office, solely so that the deputies can better know their area, people in their area. Mm-hmm. And the people in that area get to know their deputy. And that has worked remarkably. So.
Well, I mean, because that's something we've talked about before, and y'all have anonymous tip lines and all those things. But if you're asking somebody, a citizen, to say, hey, I need help, you know, y'all can't always be there. Whether as small as the areas are,
Yep. You
can't always, but they got to trust that, you know, when they tell you about the bad guy is not going to get right back out and have, you know, sway over them again.
Well, we can make the deposit. We can't help what happens, you know, when they go to court. But they do know, and we have to explain that to them sometimes. We can continuously lock them up, but if they get let out, you know, that's all we can do is try to lock them back up.
Okay, coming right back. More with Sheriff Birch and your questions at 343-0106 on this Veterans Day edition.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
By the way, to a reminder over at fmtalk1065.com, go over there, interviews from this show, from Dan and Dalton, Tom, Flash, and everybody, veterans interviews are waiting for you right there. So if you didn't get a chance, oh, I missed, you know, Sean talking to so-and-so, or Dan and Dalton talked to so-and-so on Monday, I missed that. They're all up there in one place. Like, you can always get all our podcasts by going wherever you subscribe for podcast or using our app or the main page on the website. But if you want to specifically go through, I want to listen to these veterans and their interviews. There's a fancy word they use online, Sheriff. I think they say they curate the interviews. We just gather them up. They're just in one place. Makes it easier.
Yeah.
Go check them out on our website, fmtalk1065.com. All right, questions here from the text line. Michael says, how many floaters does the sheriff have, and how does he know how many floaters he needs in different areas?
Well, you know, that the best answer for that, that would be mission specific. And like I said earlier, those are data driven. So, you know, if we are having, let's say, car burglaries in a particular area, we may put 4 to 6 at different choke points and then an undercover vehicle in the immediate area floating around. So, you know, violent crime type things, similar scenario, but we may have a few more marked vehicles in the area, you know, because we're going to initiate a stop at some point. And so it's, you know, you can't really lump it all in, you know, to one category, because each mission is dictated by the circumstances.
Okay, this from John. Why do prisons need to be privatized?
Well, we've not had private prisons in Alabama. You know, I've read articles over the years, and most of them I've read about have not been successful and end up using or going back to state-run prisons.
So, I mean, your opinion is just they're not successful.
Yeah.
Let's see. Dirt Digger says, vote Paul Birch, Sheriff 2026. He's a great man, helps our county. And we'll talk about that, too. I've had some questions. You have a challenger in the race now.
Yep.
And then I think B-Dark says she wants a debate. So I don't know. So duly noted for the debate. Let's see. All right, I'll get back to that one. This is another one from me. I was thinking, you know, we talked about the data-driven part of this. I know you can't tell us everything, but like technology, how does that crime mapping? Yes. Body cameras? No. What about, there's a bunch of technology watching stuff out there. I mean, how much do y'all, you don't have to give the whole goods here, but how much y'all lean on that?
We lean a lot on technology, and because that's just modern policing. And, you know, we have ways of gathering intel, and depending on what, you know, what we're looking for. And, you know, like, you know, violent crime's pretty easy. You see, okay, there was a shooting here, a shooting there. Mm-hmm. It's all within, you know, a two-mile radius over a short period of time. We will start to identify some of the, you know, suspects, the usual suspects in those mm-hmm. type situations, and start to hone in on them and conduct surveillance and try to catch them in the act of committing a crime.
Right. This one, how do you be a, we talked about, you know, going to those communities, building those relationships. You go, now they can trust you. Do you have, like, success stories of turning an area around or a neighborhood around, like where, you know, it was troubled, y'all went in there, you did, and maybe you took the one bad guy out or two bad guys, or just changed something that the, now it's not the same place that it was before y'all interacted there?
You know, I can't say Pritchard as a whole, and I keep, you know,
well, it's been a big story
talking about Pritchard, but you know that, you know that they were in great need of help. So some of the areas, you know, are hot spots within Pritchard. You know, we have established a good relationship with the neighbors in there, and you know, I have no problem. I give them my cell phone. I go mm-hmm. out there on operations frequently, and you know, they will sometimes call me with information that's relevant to a recent shooting or, you know, gang members hiding out in this house. I pass it on, and you know, we do the necessary surveillance to develop probable cause and usually make arrests.
I mean, this is just me
and
talking.
It's all about trust.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. This is just in my head, not data driven. Maybe you can back it up, maybe refute it. But it seems like once you could get a handle on an area or a neighborhood, and the people feel safe, they're going to be less likely to deal with any kind of stuff going forward, because they saw what happened. Now things are back to being safer, and you're going to be, you push back on it, I think, harder.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it really pleases me when I hear, and we've heard this in many instances, that people live in certain neighborhoods feel safe walking down the street again, mm-hmm. where there was a period of time where they did not. And it's usually due to one or two individuals
mm-hmm.
who just tried to, you know, threaten people, intimidate, and, you know, acting crazy, shooting guns up in the air. And so once those people are safely deposited in the hotel, then they're no longer a problem.
Yeah. And then going forward from that, if I came from that kind of neighborhood, had to have law enforcement come in and change this. Going forward, I think the first, you know, who knows how long it took for that neighborhood to get like that. Now it's back. It just seems like if you live there, you'd be like, no. The first, no way. We're not going back there.
Right. And they know they can call us. And that's another thing with those operations. It's not a one and done.
Okay.
We keep relationships with the folks in the different areas of the community where we conduct those type operations. And so just because we go in, make a couple, you know, quick arrests,
mm-hmm.
we continue, you know, very randomly, because mm-hmm. we don't want them to ever, you know, know when we're coming. Yeah. And but we let them know we're still there and we're not going away.
So I asked this one. We may not be able to get to this question fully before we go to the news break, but we'll pick it up on the other side. Ultra Runner says, the sheriff mentioned the revolving jail door. Is the problem our judges or our lawmakers?
A little bit of both. You know, there are some laws that need to be strengthened, you know, or upgraded to, you know, a different class misdemeanor, a different class
like
felon.
Shooting into. In the-
right. But that's been done.
That was one of those where you
yes.
it moved to a higher felony.
Right. Class A felony. And so, and that was huge. But, you know, the judges are individuals, and, you know, there's not necessarily a standard of bond, you know, in certain cases. Now, there is a guideline for, you know, say misdemeanors and lower class felonies. That's just a set bond, pretty
okay.
much. But violent crimes, you know, let's just even murder, for instance.
It's not the same.
The range of bonds set by the judges can be all over the place. And one may say no bond, or, you know, $500,000 bond. The other one, say, $50,000 bond.
You say it could range from no bond to $500,000 to $50,000. Is it the same? Well, I'll pick this up and come back. Is it the same exact, you know, accusation? We'll pick it up with Sheriff Birch on the flip side here. Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Veterans Day edition, also second Tuesday of the month, and we get to talk with Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch. Your chance to ask questions of the sheriff, but first I'm going to butt in line and finish out what we were talking about before we went to the news. So, like, standard, is there a standard to these bonds? We talked about the judges, like, you talked about a range. But if somebody, and I understand there's aggravated. When I was a kid, I couldn't say aggravated, and I'd say aggravated. You know, if it's aggravated, not. But, like, I know there's a different range of those things. But if you could pick out, somehow get the accusation of that suspect to be pretty much the same in both cases, the bond amount could vary that widely?
Depending on the judge they go before, yes.
So same kind of thing. Not, yep. And you, I mean, you gave me a, it wasn't like it ranges by $500. It was significant.
Again, that's just, you know, and the judges are entitled to make those calls. And, you know, sometimes over the objection of the district attorney's office, and if it's a violent crime, and you know, but
well, on the violent crime side too, just an update. And I know I've talked to a Representative Chip Brown, and I were talking about something the other day, but this kind of came back up, just changing or tightening things up in Anaya's law. But as it stands now, pre-Anaya's law to now, benefit or not benefit?
Oh, it's absolutely a benefit.
Okay. I mean,
it's, you know, there are a number of hurdles to jump through to get
which
there.
Which I because, and, you know me, I don't mind those to have, yep, a few hurdles here. But so, it's keeping people off the street that we go out and hurt somebody again?
Absolutely. And it's been hugely successful. And like any, and it's not a brand new law, but relatively new, there will be loopholes discovered down the road. And then, you know, those can be tightened as time goes along. But, you know, it's been a big tool in keeping the worst of the worst off the street.
Okay, that's a tool. Anything else tool wise y'all have been given that helps you do your job out there, or something you'd like to see? I mean, you're talking about some changes, because somebody was asking earlier, is it the legislature, you know, and that's part of it as well. I mean, you have the judges, but anything you see coming up in legislative session you'd like to see in or out or anything like that?
You know, one of the things I brought up, but it is being addressed in another bill, where, you know, shooting into a crowd is pretty much the same as shooting into a home or a mm-hmm. car. And it's just a change in language. And so I think we'll see that this upcoming session.
Similar to like what happened in Montgomery?
It's built into another bill, and I don't remember who's carrying that particular bill.
But stemming off like the situation in Montgomery where the gunfire went, or we've.
Yeah, and there's another bill, and it may be wrapped up in the same one that, you know, if you, you know, shoot and kill someone in the presence of a bunch of others, then that.
And a child, too, yes. Right? I know that District Attorney and I talked about that.
Under the age of 12, if I remember the, you know, verbiage in it. That makes it a capital case.
Do you see this getting better? Do you see the, and not just to get, but for the whole society, not just what you can do in law enforcement, do you see it getting better, the gun violence situation?
Not
in the next decade,
in
the next 20 years, 30?
Yeah, maybe the next 20 years. And, you know, I think some of the things that we do to reach children at an early age now, hopefully will be impactful as they grow. You know, some, you know, not just the sheriff's office, but there are other law enforcement agencies that try to get in the schools at a very young age and steer those children in a different direction. And again, we get in during elementary school, so we won't know, you know, until they get older if it is successful. But the positive interactions when we have these programs and participate in different events with these kids,
you feel something's changing?
You can. You can see it in their face. And, you know, and it's a difference of, you know, I remember not too long ago, you go, you know, to an event, and, you know, there's the police run. Well, you know, you now we're going to, they run, want to run up and hug you. And so there's
it's been that kind of change.
Yes.
That's good. Yep. You talked about the age group, too. I've learned this talking with folks in law enforcement out there and people just trying to help in the community. It's not just like, oh, we got to go talk to the teenagers. A lot, your ship sailed sometimes.
You're spitting in the wind with most teenagers.
The ship has sailed by then. So you're talking about grade school.
Yes.
Let's see. Let's see. Okay, Nick says, if Sheriff Birch had to explain in one paragraph or less what the sheriff's department does, what would it be? Like, is there, yeah, that's like your elevator speech.
Yeah. Well, yeah, obviously our top priority is public safety and protecting the citizens in throughout the county, regardless of what municipality you live in. But what differs from with the sheriff's office than other municipalities is we have a civil side too, and we run a jail. And so it's a very complex organization, much different than a police department.
And he goes on to say, also ask Sheriff to sell me on why I should renew my pistol permit.
Well, if you like to purchase guns, you know, it's an easy in and out when you go purchase because you forego the NICS check with a pistol permit. That's the easiest setting, or if you travel.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, that's and we. It seems like we come back to this about every month when you're on, but that's my PSA too. Y'all, as a person who, you know, has concealed carry permit, if you want to leave and go in other states, even if you're not required here, if you take a road trip, and obviously you have to check out the other states and make sure that they have a you know, corresponding deal with us. But yeah, I want to have my handgun with me, especially on a road trip.
Yep, and you know, and I want to put people at ease too, because there are a lot who are reluctant to get permits, you know, because that data is there. Mm-hmm. And there have been attempts in the past, you know, to get the data of those who hold permits. And I want to assure each and every one of you, I will bleach bit that machine before any entity gets their hands on the data of citizens who protect themselves.
By the way, this is just coming in on the text line. Tommy says, a big rig just past Grand Bay exit, eastbound, big rig's upside, I guess upside down, just past the Grand Bay exit, eastbound back to the state line. So traffic update there. Thank you, Tommy. Let's go to the phones. And up next is Robert in Sims. You're on with Sheriff Birch. Hey, Robert.
Hello. Hey, yeah. Sean.
Yes.
Hang on. Let me hang this phone
okay.
up.
Right.
Hey, listen, thanks for taking my call. Sheriff, hey, that wasn't that funny. Hey, Sheriff.
Just hang the phone up,
huh?
I just hear the phone ring. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll call back.
Yeah. Listen, my immigration question I have, I guess they printed that out on the screen there. The you know, everybody's worried about the, I guess I'm going to say Mexicans and Central Americans and whatever. And I'm all for getting the illegal criminals and illegal aliens out of the country. But as usual, I'm worried about something else. I hadn't heard a word about the 100,000 Chinese fighting age men, and I think it's probably more than 100,000, but I think that's generally accepted. And you know, like I pointed out to you one time before, I didn't point it out, I mentioned it. This is a port city. I bet you get information or bolos or be on the look, whatever term you guys use. Have you heard anybody talking about the 100,000 Chinese? I believe they're sappers / commandos, but that's just my thought.
Not in this area. And you know, I've certainly seen, you know, national news about it, but I'm unaware of any in southern Alabama that you know, we've been made aware of, and we do participate in briefings with the FBI on those type things and Homeland Security. But you know, again, I've not heard of any groups of Asians or, you know, we did get a couple of Russians, you know, a couple months ago that were here illegally. And so it's not just the Hispanic population, but, you know, I'm like you. I know there's people come from all over the world, bad actors, you know, that were able to come in under the previous administration. And unfortunately, I think we will, you know, face those consequences at some point in the future.
Robert, thank you for the call, Robert. I want to throw this in as well, without any factual backups to this, all opinion, y'all. I do worry, too, that you see the fighting against ICE, and a lot of people say, well, that's all Antifa. It's Antifa. But if you're causing me trouble in my business, I'm a cartel member, you're causing me trouble at the border, and I'm not using those people right now at the border, I got them in the United States, I'm going to cause you trouble behind your lines, kind of, in a way, to stay military for today. Yeah. And the number of people that be associated with the cartel, whether they were specifically enforcers or they just might be the dealers or whatever, say, hey, business is tough. This is what y'all are doing. This is your job this week. I mean, do you think there's any veracity in that the cartels could be militarizing inside the United States? Oh, I say militarizing, I mean, acting out. It's not just Antifa.
They clearly have, hits on some of our...
I've read that, yeah.
You know, me personally, you know, and I've believed this for a long time, our government knows where these manufacturing places are in Mexico that are producing fentanyl, cocaine, you know, those types of ICE, meth. You know, we could, and they've been declared a terrorist organization at this point. There ain't no reason we can't send a drone and...
You'd support that?
Absolutely. Now, here's the caveat. I think most people who are in there doing that work are basically slaves forced to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So you make about a 5-minute announcement, so you've got 5 minutes to get out of the building.
And destroy and the facility.
And, you know, because I do, most of those people working there probably have no choice. You know, he's either mm-hmm. work there or die. But there's no reason we can't destroy those facilities on the other side and prevent it from ever getting over here.
What about the boats? The U.S. military is engaging the boats come out of Venezuela.
I think that's awesome.
You do?
Yep.
Hey, I wonder, do we know for sure? I mean, you have a little more insight into this world. Do we know for sure we're not just some guys from Venezuela going fishing or something? You know what I'm saying? Like, that aren't running drugs.
Well, if you watched some of the videos, you can see the drugs floating around, you know, after the explosion.
Right, but just to be a squeaky wheel, I'm going to say they're not going to show me the video of the one that didn't show the drugs floating around. I mean,
that's fair. You know, based on you know, and they've made it no secret, we've got different intelligence agencies on the ground over there, and I'm would feel certain that's where some of that intel's coming from to know which one to hit, and because that's what they do.
Coming right back, more Sheriff Burks right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
1250 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. It's your chance to ask the sheriff, and also this segment of the show brought to you by, and the sheriff will chime in with me here, Jeff Stone, who, by the way, helping bring you our Veterans Day programming today and through the month, and also a veteran law enforcement as well, and the man out at Stone Arms, where if you've been saying, you've heard my messages, I think, for a while here, but I'll double down. If you said, man, one day, I'm going to get my tax stamp. One day, I'm going to shoot suppress. I was that guy. It was years of this. I was like, well, I just can't get this done. I don't want to bother them at the sheriff's department, get my fingerprints. I don't want to go over here to do this. I just didn't get it done. And then Jeff said, Sean, we can get this done like in 30 minutes. I'm like, how? He's got, it's a computer. They call it a kiosk, but it's like a computer screen out the store. And you go in, you put your information in, and make sure you put it in the right way. Because, federal form, if you screw one thing up, it's going to kick the whole thing out. So make sure it's right. And then you go to next page, put your info in, take your fingerprints right there. They do the photograph right there and sends it off as a nice, tidy package to ATF. And for me, 2 weeks to get my green light back to be able to get my first suppressor. And I tell you what, I have a theory, and Jeff, I don't know if he agrees with me. We talked about it a little bit. I think this is a plan to make it so easy. This kiosk must be sponsored by ammo manufacturers, because once you start shooting suppressed, you just want to shoot more. So I think that's my conspiracy theory on this. But y'all, go do it. And also check out the great selection of firearms and suppressors and all the gear that goes with it and the gunsmithing that goes on to put that deer season coming up. You want that can on your rifle for deer season? Get that green light from the feds. Get that can. Get the gunsmithing done all at Stone Arms. They're just about a quarter mile west of Snow on Airport Boulevard, online at stonearmsinc.com. You like shooting suppressed?
Well, I think you meant to say the suppressor you may or may not have.
Correct. So, correct. Yes. Yeah. But yes, may or may not have.
I do love shooting suppressed weapons, and Jeff and his staff are wonderful. If you are unsure about them, they'll educate you.
Yep.
You know, about the needs of what particular weapon you might want to put it on, and like I said, they really take good care of you out there.
And y'all go back and listen to 2 weeks ago, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Jeff was on with us, and we went through, like, for people who want to put a suppressor or silencer on their deer rifle. And I think about the damage I've done to my ears over the years. You know, if I'm at the range, I'm wearing hearing protection. But if a buck steps out, I'm not stopping to put on I'm not doing it. And think about the damage you do over time. So think about giving them a call today at Stone Arms. All right, continue our questions for Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch. Let's see. Michael says, do we have the same level of an active Russian mob like there is in Gulf Shores and Orange Beach? I didn't know that was a thing down there, I guess.
Yeah, well, it was for a while. And I would say it was, you know, not necessarily all Russian, but Ukrainian and just a different mix of those Eastern European. And they did have a problem down there.
How did it manifest itself down there? What did they? Were they into?
I mean, I used to have a sharking house in Gulf Shores a long time ago, and you couldn't go to any restaurant or grocery store, and that's who worked in there,
right?
And so,
I knew there were a bunch of people Eastern European in there, but there was an organized crime element
to
it.
Yeah, and you know, I know there were some investigations, and some of them folks went to jail or fled, and. But jumping back to firearms for just 1 second, the sheriff's office will be putting on our firearms familiarization course December 13th, and we try to do that several times a year for those who, you know, if you're looking at buying a gun for
this
Christmas.
This is what y'all ask about. Y'all have been asked about this on the air for a long time, so yeah. Sheriff is doing this.
December 13th is our next one. You know,
what happens? I show up. All right.
If you don't have a weapon, you know, and it's just primary handguns. If you don't have one of your own, we have a variety of them for you to kind of look, see what you're comfortable with. You know, there's a day of classroom, and then, you know, there's another day of range work. You know, but we will let you shoot pretty much any type of gun because we want to make sure you're comfortable with what you purchase.
And y'all do that because as a guy that worked in a gun store growing up, worked at an outdoor store, people come in. You know, it's funny. I mean, you can test drive a car, but you can't test shoot a gun.
Yep. You know, you can with us.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yep.
I mean, so, and how do they?
I want people who can legally carry a gun to carry a gun and protect themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I want them to be comfortable with the gun and you know, so they don't hurt themselves if they need to use it.
100. I agree. Just from a civilian, I agree with that.
Yep.
And so that to get signed up for this, it's
go to our website mobileso.com.
It'll be obvious there where we sign up for the. Very good, y'all. So you've been asking about that for a while, and now we got one right here. I got to ask you this question. For maybe a family member, possible family member, who said she saw a package on her front porch. She might have had to go to the hair appointment, got back from the hair appointment, and the package was not there. Porch piracy.
Yeah.
The person didn't look like they were dressed in ladies' clothing. Or, you know, she'd have no idea. But...
Well, that we're only going to see more of that as the holidays approach, and you know. But you know, we was really successful with a case a couple of weeks ago. Report was made. There was the homeowner was out of town. There's a lot of packages there, and you know, he had great surveillance video, mm-hmm. and so
nightly news.
They made like 4 trips to the car, and
getting all the stuff.
But we were able to quickly identify the offender, and. Ended up arresting, recovered most of the items, you know, that was taken along with some other items that I guess he took from places in Mississippi. So he's got charges.
Yeah, said it was cross state.
Yes.
Now, do you think is it crime of opportunity or of course, it's opportunity, but is it specific in most cases you'll investigate? Is it they know somebody's getting this kind of delivery and they're after it, or they're like, hey, there's a package? Like,
yeah, they just randomly ride around and grab packages. You know, now, I won't say that, you know, there was a case a year or two ago where delivery drivers was letting people know that, hey, you know, dropped off a large number of packages here. And
really? So they said they had an inside tip. Yeah.
So that's that. I think it was about 2 years ago. But you know, people know that most folks shop online nowadays, and there's going to be packages delivered, and these, you know, thieves just ride around and look for packages.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they're saying, hey, we're going to Sullivan's house because he's getting a delivery of such and such. It's just, hey, there's a house. Look, there's some packages.
Yeah, and they're going to ride through nicer neighborhoods where, mm-hmm. you know, probably whatever's in the package is a little more expensive than, you know, going somewhere in a trailer park and
right.
trying to get packages. So,
what does somebody need to do that the package never made it, or they got it on their camera? They can't do they report to you? Report to how do they do this?
Report whatever jurisdiction they're in. Especially,
what do you say? I just somebody got my packages?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, especially if you have video. You know, somebody got the packages, and obviously contact the, you know, business that you purchased them from. You could, you know, we've seen, you know, I sometimes think that there's an Amazon hub station at my house, but I've noticed when they set stuff down there, they take a picture.
Yeah, to show that they delivered.
To show that they were delivered.
All right, the website once again?
MobileSO.com.
All right, happy Veterans Day to you, Sheriff.
Yep, thank you.